We have a musician over here that make a certain sound unto the Lord and help to keep us on point and we call it on chord and all that stuff. Praise be to God. We are here to worship him today, and we pray that as we worship him, each of us here will worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, Hebrews 13 and verse 2, what does that text say? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. And it's a text that all of you know. From the New King James Version, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Angels. The next stranger you meet might just be an angel. I know we live in a society where, especially for children, it's good to have a healthy dose of suspicion for strangers because of the age in which we've come to live. So we are not trying to negate or outrule that today. Especially children need to have a healthy dose of suspicion for strangers, because there are so many evil people walking around today. We have to be on guard at all times. But in particularly for the adults, be very careful how you entertain strangers. The scripture says, "For in so doing, some have entertained angels." And today's topic is Gideon's God. And this may just be a story about entertaining angels. Maybe more than an angel too. Gideon's God. That's our subject matter today. This happened to be pretty much the final sermon I will preach this year in any of the three churches in my district. 6 years ago, on the first Sabbath of December, was my first sermon in this district. That's how quickly time flies. So next Sabbath will mark full 6 years since I have been in this district. And I can tell you, God is doing wonders, isn't he? I tell you, at Elmira, there's a fire being lit right now. There is evangelism momentum being built. And if you're not a part of it, shame on you. Actually, not shame on you. We pray for you. But yes, God is doing something. And I'm sure we're going to see more people flocking to this place to see the God that we, the Seventh-day Adventists, identify in scriptures. We worship this true God. And we are calling for true worship everywhere to rise up. We are calling sinners to repentance. We are calling people to take that final stand for Jesus as the last battle on earth, the last struggle is up on us. Today, I want to pray with you one more time as we enter this message. Our God and our Holy Father in heaven, the great Yahweh, the angel of the Lord in pre-incarnate times, before Christ took on flesh, you moved among individuals in the Old Testament times, Lord. You manifested like traveling strangers. You manifested like angels of the Lord. And we have a story before us that we will review today, and may our own hearts burn within us as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Father, overshadow us today. Take away our sins. Take away our shame. Take away our iniquities. Please make us clean, Lord. And as we study your word now, may your power be over us. May our minds be enlightened from heaven. And may we leave this place with a stronger commitment to Christ than the one with which we came. Make us holy, Lord. Make us whole. Preserve us, God. Make us the salt of the earth. May we be the light of the world. May we shine for you. And may we be true worshipers of Gideon's God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, the Hebrew consonants YHWH, vowel pointings were later added, and so we pronounce it Yahweh. And that's literally where we get the all caps word Lord. Whenever you see Lord in all caps, that's what it means. It's a personal name for God, Yahweh. It's the one who Moses met at the burning bush that says, I am who I am. It's the same word used there. Hayah. The Yahweh, the I am that I am. Today, we refer to him as the Lord of hosts. And James used that term in the New Testament when he says the Lord of Sabaoth. It's the Hebrew word, literal transliteration, Lord Zavot, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, the Lord of holy people. The Lord of hosts is who I'm referring when I speak of Gideon's God. He says in Zechariah 2, the second half of verse 8, Zechariah 2b, God himself says, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. You know, the apple or pupils of our eyes, they're very well protected, even with involuntary muscles. You just try to do this before your eye, and your eye naturally winks to protect the pupil. That's how protected we are by God. He's always there to shield us whenever harm come up against us. And so God says, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Yes, my friends, how tender is God's watch care over us. You know, there is a part for us to play in all of this relationship with God. Gideon's God. He says to us in Proverbs 7 and verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. So God calls us the apple of his eyes, and he tells us to keep his law and commandments as the apple of our eyes. So there's some apple work going on there. So long before there was a company on the West Coast that manufactures in China, God was in the apple business. Amen? Yes, my friend. So with deep love, tender mercies, and amazing grace and care, God leads us to love him in return and to treasure his law and commandments. What do you say? Amen. You know, what beautiful truths. What sweet companionship. What matchless charms we enjoy in a covenant relationship with Gideon's God. We should be celebrating Thanksgiving every day. Amen. If you recount events in your own life, you will come to the same conclusion that Gideon's God is and deserves to be exalted. After Gideon's merciful encounter with God, the Bible says, quote, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Judges 6 verse 24, the first part of the verse. You know, in Hebrew, the word Jehovah Shalom comes from the term Yahweh Shalom. That's again those Hebrew consonant YHWH, a very personal name for God. When God was going to send Moses on that mission to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, king of the superpower, and Moses says, who should I tell the people that sent me? God says, tell them, I am has sent you. And this is a very personal name for God. And I am not Hebrew, so I can pronounce it. The Hebrew had a tradition that when they see this name, they didn't pronounce it. They come up with another name. I don't need a substitute. If God reveals himself to me by a name, I am privileged to say that name with reverence and with awe. And so our Yahweh literally means the Lord is peace. Yahweh Shalom. That's where you get Shabbat Shalom. And there you get Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It's the same word for peace. So Yahweh Shalom is Jehovah is our peace. Literally translate, capitalize, Lord is our peace. You know, eternal life and your personal peace is bound up with knowing Gideon's God. Jesus himself, who is Gideon's God, he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 3. Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. Eternal life is not something we wait for when Jesus comes back the second time. Eternal life is to know God. And the Sabbath school lesson, I've been working hard to make that clear for all of us. Eternal life begins now. And that's why people like Paul simply said, I have finished my course and then I'm going to lay it down. And the next thing he knows, he's going to see Jesus. Those who live in Christ only go to sleep. True, it's a perpetual sleep that only God can awaken you from. But those who are in Christ, they have eternal life. Jesus says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou have sent. Anything or anyone else that is worship is idolatry. I don't care how wonderful the pomp and circumstances look, and the name they give, and all the show they put on. It doesn't change an idol from being just that. Idol. We only have Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, and Yahweh the Holy Spirit. Beside those, there is no God. Amen? Everything else is an idol. And by the way, Gideon's God says in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, capitalized Lord. I am the Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. God does not share his glory with idols. Never will he do that. The question to you then, to whom then do you build altars or set up memorials? Whom? You can tell me today. To whom do you build altars and set up memorials? You know, some people you talk with seem only to memorialize all the bad things that happened to them. Have you ever talked to some people and you're waiting for just one moment when they tell you about something good? It's always negative. It's always the world is against me. It's always a bad day. There's never good weather. Always bad. But there's no need for that. Amen? Satan is already exaggerating your record of bad deeds. So you don't need to keep one. Amen? In Revelation 12:10, the scripture says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, quote, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan uses his exaggerated record of our bad deeds against us to accuse and prosecute our heavenly court cases regarding our salvation. Remember that Satan is the prosecuting attorney. He is the DA against Christ's disciples. But Gideon's God, Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, Yahweh the Holy Spirit are our defense attorneys there in the heavenly court. Amen? They are representing us and every other loyal disciple of God pro bono. We don't have to give some credit card number or write a personal check or get some cash or Bitcoin or whatever those things are. God doesn't use those currencies over there. Amen? He uses a currency of faith. And when by faith we place our cases in God's hand, we are good to go. Amen? Now the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is Gideon's God, is the great qualifier in our court case for salvation. By the grace of Gideon's God, I am personally heaven bound. How about you? We have a divine dream team as our defense attorneys for salvation. Amen? And I know some of you just dealt with a court case. Others of you have court cases coming up dealing with custody and all those matters. We've had victories. People prayed for right in this church. that got already got the victories for custody. We know all those kind of stuff. And when you go up for those cases, you want the best attorneys, right? Because they are the ones who can go before that judge and wrangle the case real good for you. Well, I tell you, we have the best. We have the dream team of a defense team. We have the dream team of the universe defending our case for salvation. Why would we then not give our cases into the hands of the Almighty? He cannot lose. Gideon's God cannot lose a case of salvation placed in his divine hands. So place your case of salvation in the hands of Gideon's God. Let him lead you in the paths of righteousness. Bow down to Gideon's God. Amen. Now, Gideon met someone under a terebinth or turpentine tree. And he was totally unaware of who that delightful stranger was. But Gideon acted with hospitality. He offered a meal and even a gift to the stranger. Also, Gideon entertained that stranger long enough to join him in worshiping God through sacrifice. Sometimes we might be having worship at home and somebody knocked the door. Don't drive them away. Don't turn them away. Invite them. Let them know you are in the midst of worship and invite them if they would like to join. That's a very good witness, you know. As a result, Gideon had an encounter for which he was thankful but totally unprepared. And back to a portion that was read for us in scripture reading, Judges chapter 6, 21 to 26. Then the angel, with a capitalized A. Then the angel of the Lord, capitalized Lord, all letters, all caps. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. I can imagine Gideon jumped back at the sight. And the angel of the Lord departed, vanished out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." In other words, I am a dead man. Because the scripture says, no man can see God and live. And Gideon thought, his end has come because he has seen God face to face. I'm a dead man. But after his resurrection, when the disciples were troubled, we supposed that he was the one that would deliver Israel. And they were speaking all manner of doubts. And Jesus came in their midst. And what did he say? "Peace be to you." And when that storm of life threatened to take Peter's life, Jesus stepped out and he said, "Peace be still." It's the same Jesus here. It's the same Yahweh Shalom, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. It's the same being. It's the same being here as the angel of the Lord. Then the Lord said to him, see, he was called the angel of the Lord all along. But verse 23 makes it clear that this angel of the Lord is Yahweh himself. Jesus Christ himself before his incarnation in human flesh. It says here, then the Lord said to him, this messenger, this heavenly angel, this heavenly being said to Gideon, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." And if God says so, nobody can kill you. God says, "You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull." take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. They have this idol, wooden image. And God says, chop that image down and use the wood to build a fire to offer a sacrifice to the real God. There's no real God that you can offer in a fire as a fuel for a fire. God was making a point to Gideon. This is an idol, a useless piece of wood that an intelligent human being would bow down and worship. And God says, use it as fuel for the fire. What a rebuke to Gideon's dad's household. God said, set Baal on fire and use Baal as firewood to make a sacrifice unto the real God. You know, our first duty and priority in life is to seek out and develop a personal relationship with God. This will only come in answer to diligent prayer to and thirst for God. God says in Jeremiah 29, 12 through to 14a, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 through to 14a. We have a responsibility today to seek God. Go all out and seek Gideon's God. You will be thankful you did. Gideon's God showed up. He mingled with Gideon in a familiar way and in a familiar place. He met Gideon right where Gideon was, in his hiding place, knowing all too well what rested so heavily on Gideon's heart. Gideon had great needs of his downtrodden people, and these needs of his downtrodden people troubled his mind. Judges chapter 6, 12 and 14, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? See, Gideon was unaware that the dignified being he was talking with was the angel of the Lord, God himself, the pre-incarnate Christ in particular. And so in Judges 6 and verse 16 it says, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. How great is our God? God is telling you that if needs be, you could go out and take on the entire United States military, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Green Berets, the SEALs, whoever. God says when he sends you, you can take on the top military of the world and defeat it as one man. Man, this God we serve, Gideon's God, is the eternal. And one with the Lord is the majority. Gideon's God called him a man of valor. What is God calling you today? God told Gideon he was chosen to deliver Israel. Often, God reveals a mission to us. But you know what the tendency is? We pass up that mission for others to do. How often we make rebuttals to God's purposes for us? How often we paint a picture that God is too demanding? How often we directly or indirectly tell God he wants to reap where he did not sow? Now is the time to stop all that and allow God to speak to us directly in our individual conscience. God sometimes speaks to us directly as well as indirectly through consecrated pastors, consecrated church elders, consecrated church sisters, consecrated church boards, consecrated church brothers. And God even speaks to us through consecrated nominating committees. You can hear God's voice in all these places. But if, like Gideon, we are not attuned to God's voice, we will miss opportunities, excuse ourselves, pass responsibilities to others, and we will lose our peace. No one can have God's peace unless they are resting in God's perfect will. Remember that with God, impossibility is nothing. With God, impossibility is nothing. And also remember this too, that pressure makes diamonds. So don't complain when you go through your crucibles. Actually, praise God instead. Gideon's God will surely forgive you if you humbly confess to him and ask forgiveness. Tell him all that pleases you. Tell him all that annoys you. All hail to Gideon's God. In Judges chapter 16, 13 and 15, Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." But I want to say to you with exclamation mark, what a great God is Gideon's God. Now up to this point, Gideon still did not know who he was talking with. He did not know he was talking to God. And this reminds me of two new covenant disciples with a similar experience on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through to 16, also 25 to 26, and 30 to 31, we see something here in scriptures. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." You know, they had seen the crucifixion. Verse 15, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus drew near and went with them." That's the resurrected Jesus, by the way. Verse 16 says, "But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ, ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." a trademark of Jesus, by which he was known by his early Christian disciples, was his manner of speaking and breaking bread. God had ways to make himself known to his old covenant disciples. After God's promises to Gideon, his eyes were opened. Gideon realized that God was the one talking with him all this time. But still, unbelief had to be beaten back by the grace of God. In Judges chapter 6, 17 onwards, then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight," which he already did, but he's still questioning. "If now I have found favor," he should have been dead. He saw God face to face and lived. And he's still asking, "If I have found favor. If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." Didn't Jesus say it is a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign? Gideon had enough evidence. All of us here today, we have enough evidence that Jesus is the Almighty God. All of us here have evidence that the Holy Spirit is the Almighty God. All of us, we have evidence that the Ancient of Days is the Almighty God. All of us have evidence that God's grace is stronger than our sin. All of us have evidence that we are to keep God's Ten Commandments, including his Sabbath day holy. All of us have evidence that Christ is coming back. And all of us have evidence of the signs of the times that we are nearing home. All of us have evidence that when Christ comes, we will never part again. All of us have evidence that when Christ comes, there will be no more weeping for the righteous. No more sickness, no more pain, no more dying. For the former things have passed away, and behold, our things have become new. We all have evidence in God's word of this. But yet Gideon still asks, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." Then verse 18, "Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, God said, "I will wait until you come back." What a God we serve. He will even wait upon us. God says, "I'll wait till you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, the messenger of the covenant." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." See, Gideon's God drew near to him in a familiar way and place. We are told in the New Testament in James chapter 4 and verse 8, Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near and listen. Gideon's God has chosen you for a special mission and purpose, not someone else. Amen. We all like to personally receive God's blessings. Amen. We should equally like to receive God's duties and mission. Gideon's God has called you a man of valor for all of you men here today. Gideon's God has called you a boy of valor for all of you boys here today. Gideon has called you a woman of valor for all you women here today. Gideon's God has called you a girl of valor for all of you girls who are here today. Gideon's God says, go, I have sent you. As I close, I want to remind you of what Jesus said, what Gideon's God said, what Gideon's God accomplished for us at the cross and through his continued ministry to us who worship him. Here's a gem I'd like to drop on you. This one is taken from The Desire of Ages, page 25. And you know, Jesus is the desire of all nations, right? Micah 5 talks about that. Here in The Desire of Ages, quote, by his life and his death, Christ has achieved even more than recovery from the ruin wrought through sin. I want somebody to catch that today. By his death, by his life and death, Christ has accomplished more than recovery from the ruin wrought by sin. It was Satan's purpose to bring about an eternal separation between God and man. But in Christ, we become more closely united to God than if we had never fallen. In Christ, we become so closely united, more united with God than if we had never fallen. In taking our nature, the Savior has bound himself to humanity by a tie that is never to be broken. Through the eternal ages, he is linked with us. Quote, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. End of quote. He gave him not only to bear our sins and to die as our sacrifice, he gave him to the fallen race. To assure us of his immutable counsel of peace, I know Zechariah 6:13 talks about that counsel of peace. To assure us of his immutable counsel of peace, God gave his only begotten Son to become one of the human family. Catch this part. Forever to retain his human nature. This is the pledge that God will fulfill his word. And she quotes here Isaiah 9:5-6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the first half of verse 6. End of quote. God has adopted human nature in the person of his son and has carried the same into highest heaven, into the highest heaven. It is the Son of Man who shares the throne of the universe. It is the Son of Man whose name shall be called, quoting Isaiah 9, verse 6, the second half, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The I am is the days man between God and humanity, laying his hand upon both. He who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 7:26, Hebrews 2:11. In Christ, the family of earth and the family of heaven are bound together. Christ glorified is our brother. Heaven is enshrined in humanity, and humanity is enfolded in the bosom of infinite love. Here ends that quote from the Desire of Ages, page 25. My brothers and sisters, this is it. This is Gideon's God that I present to you today. He took on our very nature, and for all eternity, he will retain that human nature. I tell you, like Moses, I put off the shoes from my feet, for that ground upon which we stand is holy ground. The Almighty took on human flesh, not only for the 33 years he was down here, but will retain it for all eternity. I don't know, this is a sacrifice too wonderful for me. These are the things we need to sit and reflect on. These are the things we need to sit and think about. And let the mind stretch. Stretch the minds upon these subjects. Wow, what great love. What great power. What great mercy. That God would do that for us. Don't you think then that anyone who is lost is absolutely wicked? Knowing all this and still walking away from Jesus? Jesus became one with humanity. He became one of the human family and will retain that for all eternity. The day is coming when we'll never part again. Brothers and sisters, let's be loyal to Gideon's God. May Gideon's God be my God. May Gideon's God be your God. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Let's follow after God fully. Let's stand as we commit to Gideon's God. I don't want to sing that hymn 449. Never part again. Never part again? No! Never part again. And soon we shall with Jesus reign and never part again. What a promise. Hey, Gideon's God is good to us. Let's be good to Gideon's God. Let's worship him. Father and our God in heaven, our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our King and coming God, Holy Spirit, God who is here with us on this earth, leading the work, inspiring us, giving us gifts and spiritual energies, we worship you today. You are Gideon's God. You come to us in a familiar place and in a familiar way and in a familiar voice. And you speak to us and you tell us, go, I will go with you. Go, I have sent you. Help us then, Lord, to be boys and girls, men and women that will turn this world upside down for Jesus. Father, set us on fire. May we be like Jeremiah, that even though in our hearts we want to be quiet, we'll declare that the word of God is like fire shut up in our bones, and we'll go and tell somebody of Jesus, the mighty to save. You're coming back in great power and glory, and we want to be ready, and we want everyone we know to be ready. This includes family, this includes friends, and even our enemies. We want to see them all turn and come to you, Lord. Help us then to be your messengers, your agents of mercy, your agents of salvation, your agents of gospel, your agents of your grace. Help us to live and to teach and to invite. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.